Let me go ahead and just pray for us. Lord, we just come before you this morning, and we remember the good news, that is that Jesus rose from the dead. Good news indeed. Lord, as we reflect on this truth, may we be blessed. And today, as we dive into your word, may our eyes be open to see, our minds to understand, and our hearts to treasure your word and all the blessings that come with it. Lord, we thank you and praise you and pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I've been quite encouraged this weekend, especially Good Friday. I had quite a busy day. We had our Good Friday reflective service in the morning. Then we had the walk of witness shortly after that. And then in the evening, I spent with our home group met. We took communion together and we looked into Psalm 118. And it was just one of those things, especially this morning, that I found incredibly encouraging. That we as believers can come together and just spend time sitting in the truth that God loved us so much that while we were still sinners, he sent his son to take the punishment that we deserved, to take that wrath that we deserved upon himself, to make us right with God. But not only did he make us right with God, no, he elevates us and has given us his righteousness through his perfect obedience and finished work on the cross, so that now we can be co-heirs, adopted as sons and daughters. What a mighty truth, and what an encouraging thing that was for me to reflect on this weekend, and especially yesterday as some of our families got together to go on this walk, in a practical way, with just little stones and buckets, what amazing encouragement that was, right? And a lot of times, even on the walk, didn't take long for the kids to go, "Oh, Daddy, carry my bucket." And I was like, but even in that image, going to God and giving him your burdens, and he doesn't go, "Oh, fine," like I did. He's a perfect good father, right? He's a perfect good father and takes it and goes, "I will carry this burden for you. So go live and rest in the finished work of Jesus Christ." And you know what? It's so great. I mean, even in home group, we reflected, we've been going through the Psalms, and many of our home groups are doing this. We're going through the Psalms, and we see that in a lot of these Psalms, we find these psalmists who find hope in hopeless situations. Finding hope in hopeless situations. And we always ask, and we as we dive in and dissect and chew on these psalms, we're asking, how do we find hope in hopeless circumstances? How do we find hope when all things seem to be falling apart around us? How do the psalmists do this over and over and over again? It's because they do three things. The first thing they do is they look back on what God has done. The psalmists are always certain that God has delivered them in the past, and they look to the history of when God delivered them from Israel delivered them from Egypt out of slavery, as he walked with them and went before them and brought them into the promised land. They look back to all of these things saying, God is faithful. He's always been faithful. He's always come through for us. They always look at what God is doing in their own lives. They say, well, if God is faithful then, he will be faithful now. And even though everything is falling down around me, I know that my circumstances don't dictate if God loves me or cares about me or is with me. No, I know he is with me, and that's what's going to get me through what I'm going through now. And we know that the psalmists also are looking forward to God fulfilling his promises. They know that God has promised the Messiah. They know that God has promised them an anointed king, a king who will bring peace and justice, a king whose kingdom will reign forever. And although they did not see it in their lifetime, they had hope that one day God will fulfill this promise. And it's really crazy because I think a lot of times, especially as I grew up and when I was a new believer, I looked at the Bible and saw all of these examples and said, oh man, like the people in the Bible, how do I get to that status? How do I get to that level of faith? How do I do all these things? But the more I've read the Bible, I go, actually, it's not that hard, right? Because a lot of people in the Bible are broken, messed up people, just like me. People in the Bible, there are loads of people in the Bible who lose faith, who are unsteady, who turn away from God. There are so many, the Bible is relatable, and even in the same way, we can relate to the Bible today. And as we go into our passage, we'll look a little bit more into that. But we find ourselves in a similar situation. We get to participate in the story of the Bible, which I find is amazing. Right? Even take, for example, this past weekend, Good Friday, right? We look back to what Christ has done. We look back to what he's done. And then we, throughout this weekend, we remember and reflect and we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ overcoming our sin and death, right? But we also know that the Holy Spirit indwells within us, that allows us to do kingdom work and find hope in hopeless times and situations. But we also participate in the fact that we look forward. Like the Old Testament authors, like the New Testament authors, like the people who had faith from the beginning of time and followed God, they look forward to when Christ returns. And we find ourselves in that same story, the story of the cross, the story of the Bible. But the difference is our hope is a living hope, right? Our hope is already fulfilled. Our hope is already based in the fact that Jesus has already overcome the grave. He's already fulfilled the promise. And so what differs from the Old Testament authors is they saw or they had hope in God's promise. But for us today and the New Testament authors, we have a living hope in Jesus Christ. And that's what we're going to be looking at today. Today, I'm not going to spend time trying to convince you that the resurrection happened or anything like that. I want to focus on the power of the living hope that comes from the resurrection. Let's look at this. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 says, he begins and goes, blessed be God, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again in a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. When we talk about living hope, the first question I ask is, where does this living hope come from? And verse 3 points it out clearly for us. One of the first foundations of this living hope is God's mercy, right? According to his great mercy. What an amazing thought. All of this starts with God's mercy. You and me both, all of us, undeserving of God's love, undeserving of his gifts and his blessing. It's all undeserved. But God, in his love for us, while we were still sinners, sent his son Jesus to die for us, to take our punishment upon himself, so that we may be made right with God. God's mercy gives us living hope. God's mercy ought to change the way we live, to change the way we see people, change the way we treat one another. If God has shown us mercy, let me make it more personal. If God has shown me mercy and grace and loving kindness, how could I reject someone else? How could I hold back forgiving someone else? How could I not bless someone else? How can I not forgive? How can I not love? How can I not treat with respect when those things that I did not deserve were given to me? God's mercy anchors this living hope in us that we are transformed and so that we go and we live as Christ lived. that we share that good news through the way we live, how we treat people, how we respect other people. It ought to change our lives. Another foundation here for the living hope. Where does our living hope come from? The rebirth through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. Rebirth. Rebirth. This is an image, obviously not from Peter, but from Jesus when he talks to Nicodemus and says, you must be born again. But that idea of rebirth is an interesting one. It's one that can only come through the death of Jesus Christ and his resurrection. You see, when we believe, when you and I choose to believe and call upon the name of the Lord as King and Savior, the Holy Spirit comes into our lives. The Holy Spirit indwells within us and he unites us to Christ. And the Bible says, for if we've been united with him in death, in a death like his, we will certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. Jesus' death is our death. But Jesus' life is also our life. Again, what Steve alluded to, or spoke on Friday, this resurrection, this Easter Sunday, without the resurrection, has no power. We just sang it, didn't we? Without the resurrection, there's no hope. Without the resurrection, there is nothing. But it is with the death of Jesus on the cross and the resurrection that we have new birth, that we can be born again, that we can be made new into new creations, new people, no longer held down by the things that we've done in the past, that we can let go of the guilt and the sin and the shame, that we can start making good decisions that bless people, so that we can start living lives like Christ that will change the world, where we can be a city on a hill, a light in the darkness. Jesus in me, what can we not accomplish? This is where our living hope comes from. This is what we celebrate on Easter Sunday. But what do we hope for? In verse 4, it says this, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you. What do we hope for? When everything is falling around us, when we look at the world and we are losing hope, and it's just war after war, corruption after corruption, just people mistreating people, the world is destroying itself. What hope is there? Well, this living hope pushes us to live a different way, doesn't it? This living hope that we have, it's this inheritance that is waiting for us, is one that is not, that is imperishable, which means it's not going away. It's undefiled. This inheritance that we will receive is perfect. And this inheritance that we will receive is unfading. It means it doesn't lose worth. A lot of times it's easy to lose hope. It's easy to waver, to look at people who don't follow Jesus and see how they are becoming successful, right? They seem to be getting ahead in life and getting all of these things for themselves. And a lot of times following Jesus, like we talked about last week, the cost of following Jesus may often take those things away from us. Is it worth it? Peter's saying, yes, it is. Every trial, every tribulation, everything that we do, everything that God calls us to is worth it. It doesn't fade. It doesn't lose worth. It's perfect. And not only is it that, it is guarded and kept for us by God. Nothing we do can separate us from that. Nothing we do will take that away from us. Nothing that happens to us will change that. So we know then now where our living hope comes from. We know what we are looking forward to, what we hope for. But what does this living hope do for us today? In verse 6 and 7, it says, "In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor and revelation at the revelation of Jesus Christ." What does this living hope do for us? This living hope gives us resolve. It gives us endurance. It gives us strength and peace and understanding, knowing that God is doing something greater here. That's the story of the Bible. God is doing something greater here than what we can see. The Old Testament authors and the people who followed God didn't see the coming Christ. They didn't see the Anointed One, yet they still had hope. It gave them resolve that even though they were exiled and their kingdom and country destroyed, they held on to hope, knowing that God will fulfill His promises, no matter what they went through. That was the same. In the New Testament, though the Christians of the early church and our church fathers and mothers all persevered through the harshest of persecutions against the church, they had a resolve and an endurance, a strength, a peace and understanding to know that no matter what happens in this life, there's an inheritance waiting for them. And that God is with them, that He is with them. Their circumstances don't define God's love for them. God is working through all of those things to bring about something greater. Peter also says that when we go through these trials, again, a lot of times we might see and face these difficulties and think, "Oh, I'm going through this, so God must not love me, or God must not be with me, or He must not care about me," and that can't be further from the truth. The story of the Bible is that sin and death enter the world, destroying everything that God has created. But God said, "No, I'm going to work through your mistakes. I'm going to work through this sin. I'm going to work through death and bring about something glorious, something greater than yourself." We see all of these people in the Bible who do go through struggles, who do have everything taken away from them. But what happens? God takes their circumstances and makes it into something amazing. We see that and reflect on that this past weekend. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, even His closest disciples deserted Him. They all left. They all ran away. Most of them. But God was doing something more. God was doing something greater than they could have ever expected. And they found out that Jesus rose from the dead to fulfill the promises that God has for us. And what does this living hope do for us? It transforms us. It transforms us. If you are living, if you are a believer, and you have this living hope within you, how could that not transform you? How can the Holy Spirit indwelling within you, speaking these truths to you day after day after day, not transform you? How can it not? How can you see what God has done for you, fulfilling the story of the Bible? How can we look to the truth that Christ died for me and showed great mercy on me, took my sin and shame and death upon Himself, so that I can be made right with God? How can I look at that and not be transformed? Furthermore, how can I see that Christ overcame death and sin and the grave to bring us life and not be transformed by that? Living hope transforms us. The Holy Spirit works within us to make us more like Christ, so that no matter where we go, no matter who we engage with, no matter where we work, no matter what families we've been put in, that we have a living hope. And through this living hope, we go and we share the good news of Jesus Christ. Let me end with this, brothers and sisters. We're talking about living hope. living hope. Again, what does this mean for us? Rest. Rest in the finished work of Jesus Christ. So many of us in this room are trying to work our way to salvation. We're trying to work our way to a right standing. I mean, I have this conversation with so many people over the years. Oh, if I go back to church, or before I go back to church, before I become a Christian, I got to do so many good things to make up for it. Or I got to hit a certain status of goodness. Or I got to, no, come as you are. Come as you are. And rest in the finished work of Jesus Christ, knowing that he's paid for your sins, past, present, and future, and he's given you a living hope. Rest in that. Rest in that. Live with the living hope. Living with the living hope helps us endure all of these things. I want to leave you with this, is again, in verse 6, it says, in verse 4, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed at the last time. You are being kept. Let that sink in. You are being kept. No matter what you're facing, no matter what you're going through, no matter the loss, the suffering, the pain, whatever this world has to throw at you, you are being kept. 2 Corinthians 6:10 says, we are sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, poor, yet making many rich, having nothing and yet possessing everything. How is Peter encouraging these believers who are going through such a harsh time? Pointing them to the resurrection, pointing them to the living hope. With that, go share the good news of Jesus Christ, not just through proclaiming of the word, but how you live with this living hope. Though you face various trials, know that there is an inheritance waiting for you, and you are kept.